muted.
Good morning and welcome to the Kenmare Resources 2017 preliminary results presentation. For the first part of the call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards there'll be a question-and-answer session. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. I will now hand over to Michael Carvill, Managing Director. Please begin the meeting.
Yeah, thank you very much. Welcome, everybody, to Kenmare's 2017 results presentation. We realize that everybody's very busy, so we appreciate the time that everybody's taken both to appear personally in the room and to listen to this call. My name is Michael Carvill. With me in the room, I have Tony McCluskey, Finance Director of Kenmare, Ben Baxter, Chief Operations Officer of Kenmare, and Jeremy Dibb, Investor Relations and Corporate Development Manager of Kenmare. And on the phone, we have Eamonn Keenan, Marketing Manager of Kenmare. So everybody will be available to answer questions after we've made our short presentation. So just on the agenda, we will be using the presentation, which has been loaded up on the website. So if anyone is following on and has access to the website, they can follow the presentation. I'm on page three now, which is the agenda page, so I'll make a short introduction. Tony will follow with a review of a financial review of 2017. Ben will give an operations review and a view on how we're going to develop our mine path going forward. I'll give a few comments on marketing to deputize for Eamonn Keenan, who's on the phone, and a few remarks on outlook. So if I turn quickly to page four, 2017 was a year of continued growth for Kenmare and continued operational development. We had record production and record annual sales. Production of ilmenite, our key product, was up 11%, and our revenue was up 47%. So that's mainly an improvement caused by an increase in price in our main products, which are ilmenite and zircon. Both of those saw significant forward movements in price during 2017. Our cash costs dropped by 3%, which is a consequence of continued focus. That cash cost per ton dropped by 3%, which is a result of continuous focus on discipline and operating cost issues. We have been pursuing a set of low capital intensity development options so as to both present a growth profile for the company and to answer some issues with regard to somewhat reduced grade over the last couple of years when we mine out the end of the Namalope zone, which we'll do over the next several years. We are already on site with a 20% expansion of Wet Concentrator Plant B. That's on budget and on schedule for delivery in the latter part of this year, and that project is going very well. And as I mentioned, we have had positive market conditions during 2017, and we were experiencing a continuation of those positive market conditions in 2018 with a strong continued appreciation of the zircon price. And we believe that overall in 2018, we will have a higher ilmenite price than during 2017. So if I turn to page five, you can see on the graph on the right-hand side, the top graph, that's a track of our ilmenite zircon production over the years, and you can see steady improvements. The production of both products in 2017 was in line with guidance. We were very pleased about that. And we're pleased about the better certainty that we've been able to establish with regard to our future production levels. And in part, that's caused by an improvement in the stability of the electrical supply situation in Mozambique. And we're happy to say that that improved electrical supply is still there and is going to be there for the coming years. Our EBITDA improved by $54.6 million. And if you look on the graph at the bottom on the right-hand side, you can see the effect on EBITDA of the downturn, prolonged and deep downturn in titanium feedstock supply industry that occurred from 2012 through to 2015-16. Very deep and significant reduction in our EBITDA, and you can see that in 2017 that we're starting to move out of that and progressing to a better situation. And so with that, I'll hand over to Tony, Finance Director of Kenmare, and ask Tony to give a more detailed presentation on the financial results.
Thanks, Michael, and welcome everyone. Very pleased to give this financial report for 2017, which shows a very marked improvement on the previous year. I kick off with slide 7, which is a summary of the key financial highlights, starting with revenue, which is up $66 million to $208 million for the year, 47% increase, which is largely on the back of increased product prices for all products coming out of the sort of downturn in 2016, as Michael touched on a moment ago. But also with record production of ilmenite and zircon and continued focus on cost control, which has enabled us to reduce our cash operating costs per ton for the fourth year in a row. And this has all allowed us to move into a situation where we've got an increase of the EBITDA of just over $54 million. Up to just under $60 million and move from a loss to a profitable situation in 2017. All this in the context of maintaining a robust balance sheet where we've managed to reduce our net debt position from $45 to $34 million. So that's $11 million, which has been generated from cash from operations. Moving on then to slide number 8. The income statement, we've got revenues, which I'll deal with in more detail in the next couple of slides, and costs and other operating costs, which I'll also go into in more detail. The costs and the production are in line with guidance in 2017. The 2017 production of ilmenite is up 11% and zircon is up 9%, both of which are record levels. And as I touched on a moment ago, our cash operating cost per ton continues the downward trend and is a further reduction of 3% in the current year. Finance costs, as you would expect, are down because we have a lower level of debt following the restructuring in 2016 and at a lower coupon rate. And all of that has enabled us to improve our profitability by over $34 million, which would have been an even greater change were it not for the gain on extinguishment of debt, which is a one-off 2016 adjustment based on the restructuring. So I guess income statement, all in all, a very healthy picture of recovery in 2017. Slide 9, stepping in a little bit more detail into the revenue. The total revenue contribution is in the bottom right-hand corner of that graph, and you can see that just under three-quarters of the revenue are derived from ilmenite. The primary zircon, which is in orange there, shows a reduction from 2016, but this is based on the fact that ilmenite prices, which I will come on to, increased at a greater rate during 2017 than did zircon. But we expect that, based on the trajectory of late 2017 and the last few weeks, we can see zircon, you know, is looking very strong for the current year. In terms of total volumes, the total sales volumes are up by 2%, half of which relates to ilmenite. But very helpfully, because zircon is a higher value, higher margin product, zircon sales increased by 8% in the calendar year and very strong. So this has helped us improve our sales mix, which helps us improve our margins. Moving on to slide 10 then, normally we just talk about annual average prices, and we can see that the zircon pricing was up on average for our premium products by 21%, but ilmenite prices are up by more than half, which is just 52%. But rather than just looking at it on a calendar year basis, we've disaggregated it out into semi-annual increments, again on slide 10. And you'll see that most of the ilmenite increase occurred in the first half of the year. And then there was a softening during the third quarter with a pickup again closer to the end of the year. So the average increase for ilmenite for H2 was about 3% of the total of 52 for the year. Zircon, on the other hand, was a more sort of steady uplift through the course of the year, and these are the prices that we're seeing free on board, so this is what we get when the products leave MoMA. And as you know, we came to the back end of the year, we've seen some continuation of that good momentum, which has gone into 2018. Slide 11 then, turning to cash operating costs. This is the analysis that reconciles the published income statement to the cash costs to run our business and includes all of the general and administration for our business. And the adjusted cash operating costs is up by $9 million. Now, we've got a volume increase of, as I said, 11% for ilmenite, 9% for zircon. But in addition to that, we've had some increases in power and maintenance costs. Power and maintenance costs associated with additional supplemental dry mining, which we've run for all of 2017 and not for all of 2016. And there are some additional power and maintenance costs associated as WCPB moves a little bit further away from the mineral separation plant. So there's some longer pumping distance. It's not enormous, but it does contribute. The other area where costs increase, you know, that is of note is labour, and this is partly due to the stronger metrikai in 2017. As we go into 2018, we're going to continue our focus on cost control and cost containment, and in particular, we have a drive to achieve cost savings from our procurement processes. We've more detail on costs on slide 35, which I don't propose to go into at this stage, but if there's any questions afterwards, very happy to take them. Slide 12 then tells this picture over a longer period, and you can see there, as I mentioned, it's the fourth consecutive year of reducing cost per tonne. So for 2017, whilst our adjusted operating costs were up by 7%, our finished product production was up by more, by 10%, which allowed us a further 3% reduction in cost per tonne for the calendar year just passed. But compared to the high point in 2013, we're down 34% cost per tonne during that four-year period. So it's a combination of cost savings and good work that's been done by Ben and the site team, together with good work been done to increase the production. Slide number 13 is the EBITDA bridge. We're up $54 million in the calendar year. Most of that is coming from revenues, and the biggest chunk of that, of course, comes from sales prices. But $2 million of it relates to the improvement in volumes, and just under $2 million relates to the improved product mix that I mentioned earlier, which is selling more zircon in the current year compared to last year. Cost reductions I've already dealt with really on the previous slide, you know, and those costs for 2017 include $3.8 million of a legacy arbitration cost that we expect to see again. Slide number 14 addresses the capital costs, and in total these were $28 million. Most of which relates to sustaining capital and the catch-up that we had flagged at the beginning of last year when we gave our guidance, you know, came through as expected. So of that $26 million, approximately $5 million related to a catch-up from 2016. And the bulk of the balance related to, or a big chunk of it related to, the purchase of heavy mobile equipment, which has helped us reduce our operating costs because we've been able to reduce our hire costs. The smaller part of the total number relates to development costs, part of which, and I think Ben and Michael will talk to this later, relates to an upgrade of WCP, Wet Concentrator Plant B, capacity by 20%, which is a 2018 project, and that kicked off at the end of last year. And then the rest of it relates to feasibility studies to increase the mining capacity, both looking at additional mining plant and looking at areas where we can mine in higher grade zones. So that's the capital costs. No real surprises then if we move to slide 15, which is the balance sheet. The plant property and equipment number is remarkably stable, as both additions and depreciation are approximately equal. Inventories of $52.8 million include the finished product inventories of 31, which we would expect to reduce, assuming that, you know, market conditions allow and continue to improve through the course of 18 and again 19. But the increase in inventories relates to consumable spares of about $5 million. So we've put additional money into spares to support the increased level of production and higher operating rates that we saw through the course of 2017. You know, the only, you know, not much else really to note in the balance sheet. The debt includes a small amount of interest. Our first debt repayment was on the 1st of February 2018 of $9.5 million. We'll be making a similar amount on the 1st of August 2018. So that's kicking off the debt repayment. And the cash moves from $58 to $69 million. So that's an additional $11 million generated by operations, having paid for capital costs and finance costs. And finally, for me then, there's a slide number 16, which in which we deal with the net debt reduction. So net debt at the beginning of the year was $45 million. We generated $60 million from operating cash flow. From that, we then paid for the plant, property, and equipment that I mentioned earlier, mainly the sustaining capital. And then we've got $15 million of working capital changes. This includes the $5 million of consumable spares that I mentioned, reduction in trade payables, including this arbitration payment of $3.8 million, which is a one-off that was at the end of 16, but not at the end of 17. Plus some capital cost accrual. And then the other adjustment relates to the interest payment on the debt, which is at a much lower level given the reduced debt that we have post-structuring. So that's taken the net debt from 45 down to 34, which is consistent with maintaining our balance sheet in, you know, strong and robust form. So I guess, you know, for me, all in all, I see it as a year of strong improvement, but still more to come. And now, Michael, I'll hand back to you or back to Ben. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, Ben, perhaps you can give everybody a quick run through the operations and our thoughts in the future.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to start off with health and safety. During the year, we retained our NOSA five-star status, which is showing our continued improvement in safety systems and standards. We can see on the graph on the right that there is a continued falling profile in showing our better safety record. However, in 2017, we did have 9 lost time injuries. And so that is showing that there's room for improvement, and that will be a big focus for us in 2018. On the environmental side of things, we had no significant environmental incidents on the site during the year, and we had a clean audit from government. Health, our major health risk is malaria, and we did a good job in 2017 of improving the situation there with a 2,000 day reduction in lost man hours, lost man days during the year. That's because of continued focus on use of prophylaxis, bed nets, spraying camp, and so on. And then on rehabilitation, one of our big drives this year was to improve the amount of rehabilitation we've done. We purchased new mining equipment, earth-moving equipment, and we saw that we were able to rehabilitate far more land than we opened up, and that drive, we will continue to try and improve that situation further. Moving on to slide 19, operationally, it was a record year. As Michael said, an 11% increase in ilmenite and 9% in zircon, and we were pleased to meet our guidance. Key features of that are the focus that we've placed on operating time at the mine to increase the amount of time that we're running the plant, and getting additional sand treatment through with our supplementary mining operations at the MSP. All of our product recovery improved during the year. Moving on to the following slide, 20. Just looking at where we're going, As we move forwards this year, we're expecting production at the mine to be impacted by higher slimes and the fact that we have no or little HMC stock. That's the concentrate stock from the mine. And we start to see a slight fall in the grades as well this year. We also have time to implement the WCPB upgrade. So therefore, to mitigate that, we are focusing very much on getting higher volumes of sand through with further increases in our supplementary mining operations and also continuing the trend of improving utilizations. WCPB project is underway and we're being very closely tracked to come in on time and within the budget set. And there are further opportunities looking at the utilizations and operating and throughputs through automation and productivity improvements. At the mineral separation plant, due to the low HMC stocks, it's really a story of maximizing recoveries, doing the best with what we have. And so we're focusing on minimizing spillage, maximizing our metallurgical control of the plants, using stable power in the summer months to keep the plant moving, producing in a smoother operating manner. And we also have projects to further improve both the recoveries and transition, particularly zircon, from lower grade concentrates towards higher quality, higher revenue products. Lastly, we're developing a new monazite product. It's a concentrate product. I'll talk a bit more about that on a later slide. So moving into the guidance for 2018, the impact of those comments is that we're expecting our production in 2018 to moderate slightly. We're guiding 900 to 1 million tons of ilmenite. That's largely due to the fact that we're starting the year without HMC stockpiles, but we expect to offset that through additional ilmenite shipments from our working capital. In terms of costs, absolute costs will remain similar to 2017. However, with the slight fall in production, there will be a slight rise likely in the dollar per ton run rate. Capital, we're expecting to spend $19 million on our projects. That's a kick up largely because of the WCPB upgrade in execution mode and also with the development of further mining capacity, which I'll come on to on a future slide. Sustaining capital is broadly in line with the norms of around $20 million, slightly higher at $22 million. With continued focus on HME replacement strategy and with additional mine infrastructure and process changes in the mineral separation plant. Moving on to slide 22, to talk a bit more broadly about where we're going with our mine plan. So MoMA operations operates, there are a number of ore zones. You can see them written out there on the right. They have differing grades, differing sizes, differing mineral assemblages. And over the last year or 2 years, we have been focusing on drilling other deposits within this set and defining them better. Also, then moving on to understanding the mining criteria, so understanding where the water table sits, the slimes levels, the hardness, geotechnical elements. And what's come out of that is the opportunity to maximize our returns from our mine plan, and we've found alternatives to our current mine plan in terms particularly of the Pilivili lease area and also the Congolone zone. So, and this year we will be transferring Pilivili out of a resource category and into a probable reserve category. If I move on to slide 23, just to look at some of our short-term development opportunities, there's a need to arrest the impact of falling grades over the next few years as Namalope starts to come towards the end of its life. And these first two projects are there to really bolster our production at the current levels. We've undertaken to increase the capacity of WCP by 20%. That project is underway. We're using Hatch, a well-known engineering company, to help us with the design and the installation of that project. It's commissioning in the second half of this year, and currently it's on schedule and on budget. The advantages of that, it's a relatively low-cost project, and from a capital perspective, but also very low incremental operating cost increases, and so it's a high-return project. Second area of focus is that we've been studying a new mining area in a previously inaccessible part of Namalope. We are looking to build a 500 ton an hour small concentrator and dredge operation in that area. We're calling it Namalope Supplemental. At that rate of mining, it's got a 10-year mine life, and this area was not previously accessible to the WCPA and WCPB operations. Because it's close to the MSP, its operating costs will be low. It can lever off the existing infrastructure, and subject to approval, we're planning to install and commission that plant in the second half of 2019. The other short-term development opportunity really levers from our wish to get more value from the MoMA assets which are already installed, and we have identified the opportunity to consolidate existing tailing streams which are rich in monazite, and create them and put them together to create a product. The studies were completed in 2017. We've approved that project. It's a $6 million project, and has very low operating costs. It's due to be commissioned in the second half of this year, and I'm looking forward to being able to offer a new product to our suite. Moving to the following slide, 24, looking at the medium and the long term, we've spent time in the last year studying our future mine plans, and WCPB completes its mining of Namalope in 2020. We've talked before about studies of a plant called that we named WCPC, and in combination, that study was completed at the Pilivili lease area to account for those higher grades that you saw on the previous slide. What we found is actually moving the larger WCPB operation levers better those high Pilivili grades, and the provides us a mine plan which would be better than if it was alternatively going to Nataka. And such is that if when we implement that in 2020, we would expect that to be able to provide sufficient HMC now to move the MSP to capacity. And that's a significant advantage for us. It means that we don't need to spend large amounts of capital on a new WCPC, and we get the operating cost benefit of running two large plants, not three large plants. The definitive feasibility study is kicking off right now, and we are expecting to complete that in the first quarter of next year and implement the project at the end of 2020. Further into the field, between 2024 and 2026, WCPA also completes its mining in Namalope, and we have traditionally thought that that plant would move to Nataka. However, the work that we've been doing on the Congoloni lease presents potential advantages, and we can look at whether WCPA now can move into those higher grades, higher quality ilmenite deposits, where mining may also be easier. And so we've commenced feasibility studies on the potential to move WCPA at that time into Congoloni, or whether to continue with the existing plan in Nataka and look at the potential at that point for a WCC to move into Congoloni. The mining studies are underway. for Congolone, and we'll be completing those studies this year. That is the end of my presentation.
So thanks, Ben. I'll give you a few comments on market. As I mentioned, Eamonn Keenan, our marketing manager, is on the phone for questions, but I suppose we had to keep somebody on the day job, and so Eamonn stayed in the office. So if I turn to page 26, which is the first page, first slide on marketing, just to sort of recycle back and say that the main market for titanium feedstock is the titanium pigment market, the titanium pigment industry. Titanium pigment is then in turn used in the manufacture of paint, paper, plastics, fabrics, inks, cosmetics, foodstuffs, anything that has color or opacity, anything that's manufactured uses this stuff. And so consequently, as the world GDP increases, consumption increases. So in 2017, we saw positive growth in the pigment industry in all regions except China. In China, it grew in the first part of the year, and then it softened a bit in the second part. And that softening in the second half of 2017 in China was mainly caused by much more strict enforcement of environmental regulations, which are coming around based on Chinese government perception that the environment has been despoiled and they need to clean it up a bit. One other factor about the pigment industry in China is historically that has used a process called the sulfate process. However, the other process of making titanium pigment is called the chloride process. It's more environmentally benign, and so the Chinese government has been encouraging a transfer over to the chloride process. And that chloride process suits us because locally produced Chinese ilmenite has a chemical signature that's not very compatible with the chloride process, and consequently they have to import ilmenites, such as the ilmenite that we manufacture in MoMA and other similar ilmenites. So that's all good for us. In terms of feedstock, that higher demand and the higher production of titanium pigment has flowed down into the titanium feedstock industry, and we perceived and experienced higher demand in 2017, which you've seen manifested in improved prices for our products. As I mentioned, with the pigment industry, our market softened in China in the second half of the year due to the sporadic and intermittent application of these environmental considerations. What we've also noticed recently is that high-grade titanium feedstock products, so those are upgraded products from ilmenite, such as titanium slag and synthetic rutile, are also seeing price rises, which again is supportive of improvements in the ilmenite market. And as an outlook for 2018, there are strong GDP forecasts worldwide for world GDP in 2018, which are supportive of continued growth. We don't see significant inventory in the world industry, so if the pigment industry improves its production, that will flow directly into feedstock. We have already agreed price increases with our existing contracted customers. There is always a hiatus over Christmas and the Chinese New Year, the Lunar New Year, while people go through their holiday process and holiday periods. That is now over, and we're starting to see domestic prices in China improving post-Lunar New Year. So if I just turn to page 27, just to make a few observations, the graph on the left-hand side is domestic Chinese ilmenite production, and you can see over the last several years, it's actually been quite static. So our forward internal projections assume that Chinese ilmenite production will be reasonably static. There are strategic and social reasons for China to continue to produce ilmenite from the Sichuan region. We believe that will continue. And yet, because of the general difficulty in the economics of that, we don't foresee it improving much. So we see it as being reasonably static in the medium-term future. And on the right-hand side graph, on the other hand, you can see titanium feedstock imports into China, which, as you can see, from 2012 through to 2015, were continually dropping as the downturn in the industry bit. However, that improved again in 2016, and in 2017 was in a further increase. In 2017, I just have to caution that that number includes a lot of titanium or ilmenite concentrates. And an ilmenite concentrate is not all ilmenite, it's maybe 60-70% ilmenite. So the number is a little bit higher than the actual contained amount of ilmenite. And those ilmenite concentrates came from stockpiles that had been accumulated around the world of material which, until that point, had been uneconomic to ship. They'd been developed over the previous years. When prices went up, they shipped those concentrate stockpiles. They arrived in China and became depleted. So we don't perceive that the same level of ilmenite concentrate is available in 2018 as it was in 2017. If I turn to page 28, you can see on the left-hand graph that increase in price during the year stimulating a significant increase in supply into China, and then a drop in price and drop in supply. And then on the graph on the right-hand side, you can see the consequent increase in port stocks, which jumped in the second half of the year and have then started to deplete as those concentrate supplies no longer were arriving on the door. So our feeling with regard to 2018 is that overall in 2018 we will have a higher price for ilmenite than in 2017. However, we do notice that increased prices do induce additional supply. And some of that supply we hadn't really known existed. So I assume that there are some other bits and pieces around the place as well. So while we see prices increasing, we don't see them going dramatically forward. We believe that as they increase a bit, we will see some induced additional supply. So turning to zircon on page 29, just trying to put some data on it, the graph on the top left-hand side, all those green dots are actual imports of zircon into China and their price. And so you can see that price spiked in the 2011-12 period. That spike in prices caused substitution of zircon and consequently a significantly reduced demand, which in turn created an overhang of inventory in the world industry, and consequently a significant drop in prices. It's taken several years for that overhang to inventory overhang to be absorbed. It has not been absorbed, and so we saw in 2017 a significant recovery in prices, and that recovery has continued into 2018. However, I suppose from our point of view, we're concerned that if the price appreciation in zircon follows the pattern of 2011-12 and is too extreme, well, it could indeed cause substitution again. So we're hoping that prices rise, but then sort of flatten out a little bit and create a sustainable future for all participants in the industry. So if I turn to outlook and just try to summarize where we are on slide 31, we have been working very hard to improve our product mix. And so that's with rutile improving the quality of our rutile products. And for zircon, it's moving lower value zircon products into higher value zircon products. So that there are several projects still underway, several projects completed in 2017 for that. We are on site with the development of the new monazite stream. We look forward to that completing towards the end of the year and first shipments early in 2019. As Ben mentioned, we have a set of low capital intensity brownfield expansion projects, which both answer the issue of somewhat reduced grade during the period when we're finishing our mining at Namalope, and provide us with the opportunity to significantly expand our production as we move into high-grade Pilivili zone. That will allow us fully utilize the installed infrastructure. At the moment, our mineral separation plant is not used at capacity. We like to push it to capacity. We believe that capacity to be somewhere around 1.2 million tons per annum. we haven't got there yet, so there's probably some bottlenecks and issues that have to be resolved as we move towards that. What we're doing is we're optimizing grid in terms of our mine path. We're optimizing that mine path to get the highest grade earliest, which in turn increases and improves the NPV of the company and reduces our operating cost. So just to summarize those projects, it's the expansion of Wet Concentrator Plant B underway at the moment. It's the installation of a really small mining and concentration plant right beside Wet Concentrator Plant A, utilizing existing infrastructure and close to the mineral separation plant. And very importantly, diverting Wet Concentrator B from its move. It has to move in 2020 anyway, and so we had previously presumed that would move to Nataka. By moving it to Pilivili, that removes the need for a third major mining plant as part of our complement of operations. And I think we talked last year that we were doing a pre-feasibility study on a major mining plant, Wet Concentrator Plant C in Pilivili, and that had been we had been looking at a cost of about $100 million for that. That's gone. We don't need to do that. By moving B to Pilivili, we get to the same level of HMC production and therefore the same level of product production without that expenditure. So that's the plan for the future. So trying to put that into our sort of our strategy matrix, growth pre-feasibility studies for Pilivili are, you know, the key part of our expansion plan. So that pre-feasibility study has been completed. We're now in a definitive feasibility study for that movement to Pilivili. We have been continuing our studies on brownfield expansion. We're on site. And then Namalope supplementary mining operations definitive feasibility study is underway. We're hoping to get that started and be in production in the middle of 2019. As far as optimization is concerned, we did concentrate on costs and then saved 3% per ton of product in 2017. In 2018, we're developing a new monazite stream, and we have a new procurement system in place. New people have been hired, new systems have been implemented, and we expect to get the benefits of that coming through in 2018. And as Tony mentioned, it's really important that we keep the robust balance sheet that our shareholders have allowed us to develop through their restructuring. Our debt is already reduced to $34 million. We have paid our first installment of the debt repayments as per our loan schedules, and we'll continue to do so and consequently reduce our net debt further. So that's all we have to say in terms of presentation. I'd just like to particularly thank everybody here in the room for taking the effort to come across London to listen to us. It's great to see everyone here, and to thank everybody on the phone for dialing in and listening to the call. And look forward to updating you in the coming months as things move forward. So thank you very much, everyone. Bye.
This now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.